I'm sorry, Mrs. Curtis. Doesn't seem to be anything in his papers to give us a clue.
They kidnapped my husband 12 hours ago. When are we going to hear from them? What do they want?
Try to stay calm. They did it for ransom. All we can do is wait to hear their demands.
I'll give them anything. Anything they want. All I want is to have Harold back.
Go ahead. We're listening.
What did they ask for? Whatever it is, they can have it.
They want your case of Wonka bars. Miss Curtis, did you hear me? It's your husband's life or your case of Wonka bars.
How long will it give me to think it over?
You're listening to the Mike Cara radio program. I Am the Nation, proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth.
Well, welcome back to our last segment of the Mike Cara radio program, Eye on the Nation. Definitely have our eye on the nation, as always, proudly broadcasting from Woodridge, Illinois, USA, planet Earth. And my guest today is Mr. Jeff Stevens, the author of a great book called Targets of Deception. Definitely got to pick yourself up a copy on the internet, your local bookstore, your local library, but definitely a great read. And Jeff, it is an honor and pleasure that you can join me today and tell us all about your writing and this great book. And yeah, we mentioned that the internet targets everywhere. So the question is, do you find then now people from around the world then are buying your book and giving you praise then?
I have to say we haven't gotten around the world yet. I know they're trying to market the book in the UK and in Europe. I don't think it's there yet, except electronically. I do hear from people in Canada, but I haven't heard from overseas yet. But, you know, it's new. I mean, the book is new, and so it's a new experience.
Exactly. And, you know, we want to talk a little bit about the book. And, of course, we remember, in, you know, 9/11 and the terrorist attacks. And do you think that, obviously, we know the answer is yes, but, I mean, in your opinion, do you think that 9/11 definitely dramatically changed the way we look at espionage novels?
Well, I'll just be contrary and say no. I think that we don't look at espionage novels any differently. It's just that the cast of characters has changed. So, you know, during the Cold War, the height of the Cold War, the James Bond years, the villains were the Soviets. I mean, that's who it was. And the offshoots of the Soviets, like Smersh and Spectre and all these things that they created for James Bond. And then later on down the road, you had Robert Ludlum and that whole era, and that was all about sort of the dark side of special operations and all these countries positioning and posturing for each other and trying to get their hands on nuclear weapons, and so that they would have some position of dominance in the world. So it wasn't so much about an exploding bomb as getting the technology or getting the plutonium or getting the enriched uranium. Now the cast of characters have changed, and as you know, because of 9/11, they've changed dramatically, and so Islamic extremists have become the villains in most of these books. But in terms of how we look at them, here's the truth. The truth about storytelling is people want something that entertains them. For some people, they like to be frightened. They like a vampire story. Some people like a romance novel. Some people like a family saga. People who read thrillers, what they like is they like difficult, dangerous, lethal situations with people who have high levels of competence, who can go out there, attack those situations, and prevail. And so how we look at thrillers, I don't think it's changed all that much. I think the cast of characters has changed. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story. When I was writing the sequel to this, I have two sons, and my younger son said to me, you know, don't make the Arabs the bad guys again. Everyone's writing about Islamic extremism. And so we did something quite interesting, which you'll see when the sequel comes out, but we sort of changed the direction and did something kind of clever about who the villains are in the new book, which is called Targets of Opportunity, which is coming later in the year. And we've changed that direction. But in terms of how we look at it, people just love a good story well told. You know, that's the truth of it. People just enjoy it. And if it's well written and you're flipping those pages because you want to see what's happening next, it's, you know, it's been from the beginning of time. That's what people enjoy a story for.
And the question I have for you, Jeff, with this book and the last book, you know, your new book, I mean, when you're initially writing this book, do you have the ending? You know, of course, we won't mention any endings, but you know, I mean, do you have the ending already in your head at the beginning of the process, or does it come through the process?
Yeah, I've heard, that's a great question, by the way. I've heard writers, Mike, say that they write the last line of their novel before they write the first line. And it seems to me, like in any journey that you take in life, the most important thing is to figure out where you want to end up. You could figure out a lot of different things about how to get there. So, you know, if you decide, you and I say we want to take a trip across the country and wind up in San Francisco, let's say, you know, as long as we know we're going to San Francisco, we may take a ride directly across the country. We may go up and stop in the Dakotas. We may want to see Mount Rushmore. We may want to go through the South. But you got to know where you're going to end up. And so the answer is, yes, when I write a novel, I know what my ending is going to be. What happens along the way changes dramatically as I go because characters are developed. Characters take on really lives of their own. So you say, gee, I've got this Mike Cara character here, and I've got him lying to this girl, but you know what? He's just not a liar. And you have to go back and change the scene because you've taken on so much of a personality in the book that you can't possibly be a liar. On the other hand, there may be somebody who can't possibly tell the truth. And so all those things and the directions that they spin off during the story will change for me. But what's for sure is I know where I'm going and I know where I start off. That's how I approach the book.
Exactly. And now an interesting question is, you know, when you're writing, is it a situation for you that you have to write one book at a time? Or, I mean, could you actually have two different novels and switch gears? I mean, write two things at the same time? Or
I can, but it's really tough. I've tried it. It's tough. What I can do is I could write a new novel while I'm rewriting something that I've already completed. But as I say, you've really got to live and breathe. When you get into that room and shut the door and you're working on a novel, you've got to inhabit that world. I got a funny story for you if you've got a minute. Do you remember the book, which also became a movie, Marathon Man?
Yeah.
Okay, and there's a great scene in it. In the movie, Dustin Hoffman plays the main character, and Laurence Olivier plays this former Nazi who was a really bad guy. And there's one scene in it, the famous scene everyone tends to remember, where he's drilling his tooth so that he can torture him. I don't know if you remember that scene. And he keeps asking Dustin Hoffman as he's torturing him, is it safe? Is it safe? And Dustin Hoffman is screaming from the pain in one thing and another. Okay, so that's the scene. And for anybody listening who remembers Marathon Man, that was the famous scene in the book. Anyway, the guy who wrote the book is William Goldman, a great writer, great novelist, great screenwriter, wrote Butch Cassidy and a lot of other great things. And he always rented a studio apartment in New York. So he'd leave his house in New York, his apartment, go to this little studio apartment where he could be totally alone. There was no telephone and he'd write all day and then he'd leave. That was his job. And this one day he's writing that scene, is it safe? And during this, he starts to act it out. I mean, he's in this room by himself as he tells the story and he's acting out this whole scene about, is it safe? And he's screaming as Dustin Hoffman and he's using the German accent as Laurence Olivier. Anyway, he gets done with the day's work. Very pleased with this whole scene and the drama of it. And so he steps out into the corridor to go to the elevator in this apartment building in New York City. And at the same moment, a little old lady who happens to live in the apartment next door comes out of her apartment and looks at him with total fear on her face and runs back into her apartment, slams the door shut and double locks it. Because apparently she heard all the screaming and the talking and everything through the wall. And she heard this because he was so involved in that scene that he was living the scene. And so the answer that I've got for you is that in the end, when you're writing something really good, nothing else exists. You're living in that universe for the hours that you're putting into writing the book. So no, I couldn't write two books at the same time. I could certainly do proofreading and editing on another book, but the writing process, I have to be devoted to the one novel.
Okay, Jeff, as we get down to the nitty-gritty, we want to let everyone know, I think we've mentioned how they can get a copy of this great book, Targets of Deception. We're mentioning Amazon and the internet, and that's the best place, or your website is a good place, too.
You go to my website, Jeffrey Stevens, it's Jeffrey, J-E-F-F-R-E-Y, Stevens is S-T-H-E-N-S. It's a, if you go to my website, jeffreystevens.com, there's a direct link to buy the book from Amazon or BN.com. You could certainly order from your local bookstores. I love when people do that. I love them to support bookstores. Unfortunately, you know, you may not find it there as easily, and Amazon and BN.com will get you the book right away. You can check out that video that I told you about, which is kind of fun, on my website, or look at my blog, Jeffrey Stevens' blog. But the internet is out there, and it's powerful, and anybody who gets the book and reads it, please tell everybody how great it is, because, you know, we want to sell some of these so I can keep going.
Exactly. Jeff, I want to thank you so much for your time. And any final thoughts or anything we haven't discussed or anything we should take away from all of this?
Well, just keep reading, everybody, because it's the most important thing. You've got to keep reading. There's too much illiteracy in this country. And those of you who are out there who are listening, you must be readers to begin with. And so just keep reading, because it's an important thing that you're doing. Expands the mind. Even if you're not reading my stuff, just be reading, because we sit. It's too easy to sit in front of the TV and just veg out, or sit in front of the computer and play with the internet. Comes a time you have to sit down and use your imagination, and that's the fun of reading.
Exactly. And one thing we were remiss about now, as far as libraries, right now, is there any plans for these books? Well, hopefully to be in our Woodridge Public Library.
I don't know about your library in particular, Mike, but I do know that, you know, we have sold them to libraries around the country. So, you know, bug your librarian and tell her to get a copy.
Okay, we'll do that. My guest has been Jeff Stevens, author of a great book, Targets of Deception. You've been listening to the Mike Carra Radio Program, Eye on the Nation, and please catch us again next time.